You know, we should think about that kingdom every day, shouldn't we? When we rise up in the morning, say, thank you, Lord. You blessed me with another good night. And well, maybe whether it's been a good night or not, if you woke up in the morning, you've got something to thank the Lord for. And if we could just start our day thanking the Lord for his blessings and his mercy, we're off to a good start. It's those days when we rush out and don't remember the Lord and don't think about his goodness and his mercy and our need of him. Those days just don't go real well, do they? All right. Appreciate what's been said already, and I pray for continued interest in your prayers as we notice our text. You will find it in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Some of the letters, epistles in the scriptures, like Romans, was written to the church at Rome. The Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, was written to the church at Corinth. The letter to the Galatians was to the churches of Galatia. There was a general error in that day where there were those who believed in Jesus, but they said, now, but you still got to be circumcised. And so a great deal of the message in the book of Galatians is how those that were trying to hold on to some part of the law and yet claiming that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, they had that problem then, and I suppose there's some folks that might have a similar problem today. Have you ever seen those that would like to kind of pick and choose what part of the scriptures they want to follow and kind of ignore the other as if it doesn't matter? Well, we need it all. We need all of it. And sometimes we have to grow into it. That's why, you know, if you pick and choose, you might leave off something that you needed to be able to grow into something else. As Brother Kenneth was speaking about the kingdom and pressing into the kingdom, if you remember over in 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter talks about adding things. There's seven things that he mentions there that we're to add to our faith. You know, he doesn't say add faith. He starts out by saying, and besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, all down through a list of seven things. And the reason I bring that up is because at the end of that, you know, Peter's telling us now, add to it, add to it. In other words, every day we need to be pressing into this kingdom and reading the Word of God and thinking about the Word of God and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because Peter says at the end of that list, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. An entrance shall be ministered unto us. How? By doing what the scriptures tells us to do. And adding to our faith each day, growing in grace as we're pressing into the kingdom and enjoying more of the present blessings that we have available to now, while we look forward to the time that we'll enjoy the fullness of it in heaven's pure world. I tell you, there's things about this life that just kind of drags us down. There's no kind of about it, is it? There's plenty of things in this world that can just drag us down and suck all the joy out of us. Oh, but bless your hearts. When we're blessed to be in that eternal kingdom, we won't have to worry about any of those things. But it is our burden today that we have to deal with those things. Galatians chapter 6. I hope you found it by now. Brethren, If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Aren't you glad that we don't live under the old law service? Sacrifices, offerings, burnt offerings, peace offerings, trespass offerings, morning and evening, all those things. But Paul mentions here fulfilling the law of Christ. It would behoove us to understand what that law is, because he's telling us we need to be fulfilling the law of Christ. Now, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, did he? He came to do what? Fulfill it. And he did it. Hallelujah. Because we never could. We never could. He did. All right? He fulfilled that law. But I want to notice some scriptures this morning, Lord being my helper. As we go through, and I want to enlarge upon the idea of the law of Christ, because we're told that we're to fulfill that. We're to fulfill, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as believers in the one true and living God, and believers in his Son who came into this world to suffer and die to redeem his people from their sins, as we rejoice in the finished work that Jesus accomplished on the cross and is freely given to us by the grace of God, bless your hearts, we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our first and foremost duty is to bring glory and honor to his name. All glory belongs to him. We don't deserve any of it. Well, how do we do that? How do we see that we as a church, and by the way, the church is not the building, right? Thankful for the building we have. I'm thankful for the facilities we have. But the church is the people. The ecclesia, the called out. When Jesus told Peter, he was speaking to all of his disciples. He said, "But whom say you men that I am?" And they gave various answers. Then he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he got it right, didn't he? Because Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood." Mom and daddy didn't, brother and sister didn't, your best friend on this earth didn't. "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock." Now the church is not built upon Peter. There's a large body of within Christianity that ardently believes that it's built upon Peter. Upon this rock. Upon what rock? The rock of revealed truth. That of who Jesus is. He's not sitting in heaven wringing his hands wondering how all of this is going to turn out. God sent him to do a work, and he did it. And we rejoice in that. And the church is built upon those that are called out, those who have been blessed with the Spirit of God to know him and to know who Jesus is and to know what Jesus has done. That's the church. "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And if we claim to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our first and foremost obligation is to bring glory and honor to his name. How do we do that? By obeying this word, by living this word, by letting others see this word in our lives. Whether they ever hear a sermon, whether they ever hear you speak a word or not, like my favorite quote by Sir Francis of Assisi, he said, we ought to preach the gospel everywhere we go, and if necessary, use words. Our actions, our reactions, our heart's desires, those things should preach the sermon of the glory of God, because we are taking this word into ourselves. We're growing in it, we're understanding it, and we're applying it, and we're living it. And when others can see that we're living it, the glory belongs to God. Because if he hadn't given us his spirit, if he hadn't had mercy upon us, we wouldn't be doing it. But he doesn't make us do it, does he? We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2 and 10. All right? Philippians 2 and what is it, 12 or 13? Where he says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You find one that desires to do what's pleasing to God, you find one who's got the Spirit of God dwelling within them. Oh, what a blessing it is that God gives us his Spirit and blesses us to know him and to know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' prayer in John 17, he tells us that if we know the one true and living God and Jesus Christ, his Son, that's life eternal. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing we have. If we know it, if we're blessed to know that his kingdom is here, it's at hand, it's available to us for us to press into it and enjoy the blessings of God and what he has for us now while we wait for that eternal kingdom, where all will be joy and happiness forevermore. But until then, his word teaches us how we should live if we're going to be a church that honors and glorifies him. Verse 2 in chapter 6 said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is, well, just think about Christ. We've already touched on what he came to do and that he finished the work of redemption. All right? He also provided us an example, right? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. All right? He went about doing good. He went about relieving people of their distress from illness and disease and infirmity and all manner of things. Well, we don't have the power to do what he did, but we can go about doing good, can't we? We can go about being a helper to others and their needs. And as a matter of fact, we should spend some time looking for opportunities to do just that. To show the love of God to others as we go through this life. And so fulfill the law of Christ. What Christ did, his law is a love that was so effective. You see, the very reason he came was because God so loved the world, right? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, not could have, but have everlasting life. when the angel told Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall," right? Not try to. "He shall save his people from their sins." And we rejoice that he did that. In John 17, he said, "I've finished the work thou gavest me to do." Now, he hadn't gone to the cross yet, but he had set up the church and he was going to the cross. He was about to shed his precious blood, the price of our redemption. The law of Christ, he loved us perfectly. He still loves us perfectly. And the love that he has for us did for us far more than we could ever do for ourselves. The love that he has for us accomplished far more than anyone who is the dearest on earth to you could ever do for you. And we're to have that kind of a love for one another. If we could do that and get it right, would it change your life? Would this place be a better place to live? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to try to do that. Now that command, you got to grow into it. I'm going to back up. Got to get on with this. Time's getting away here. Back up to chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 13, he says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." By love serve one another. Now, he said this before we got over to chapter 6. All right? By love serve one another. Do you know who we serve too much? Whew. I was afraid somebody would say that. They've been watching me. It's so easy, isn't it? It is so easy to cram our schedule full of things that minister to me. And I would love to do some good things for other folks, but there's just not time. I've got all of it devoted to me. Isn't that kind of the way it is sometimes? How much time does it really take to think about somebody and pray for them? How much time would it really take to... Now... I have to be careful with this one. To pick up a phone and call somebody? It might take a long time. But really, if you just want to spread a little cheer and let them know that you're thinking about them, that's what you want them to do, and you've got to get on with your day, it doesn't take that long. But boy, what a difference it could make in someone else's life. They might enjoy that all day long. And you don't know, but what the frame of mind they were in was such that that just might help them a whole lot more than you'll ever realize. People are bearing burdens that you probably don't know anything about. People are struggling with a weight upon their shoulders that they may have a smile on their face and they may never tell you a word about it, but it's there. And you don't have to pry into someone's life. Just show them a ray of sunshine. Just give them an encouraging word. just help them. If you see an opportunity for you to help them, go ahead and do it. Bear ye one another's burdens. We have to grow into this because it's not just a decision that I'm going to check off this box today. It needs to be motivated by love. Isn't that what he was saying back here in chapter 5? But by love, serve one another. Now, as we've said before in various ways, if the love's not there, the service is not going to be genuine. By love, serve. And if you back up further in that chapter, you'll find that faith worketh by love. And the word worketh there means the energy of faith is love. And so if we've got the love there for someone else, it will energize our actions. It will energize our faith. We can add to that faith about those things that we're doing to be a blessing to others. By love, serve one another. That's how we bear one another's burdens. We can be a help, but when the love is there and we have a desire to lift their load, to encourage them. You know, the man Barnabas that traveled around with Paul for a while. Barnabas, his name means load lifter or encourager. Aren't you thankful for some of the Barnabases that you've encountered in your life? How many times have you tried to be a Barnabas for someone else? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is speaking of that great love that he has for us, that he has given to us, and he has given it to us for us to reflect it to others. We didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us anyway. Someone else, in our eyes, we may not feel like that they deserve it, but give it to them anyway. What if you had to wait until you deserved what God's given you? We'd be waiting a long time, wouldn't we? All right? So when we think about the mercy that God has had upon us and the blessing that he's given us, we love him because he first loved us. And so the love that he's given to us is that which we need to reflect to others. Right? You know, we've said before, if you want to have more love, give it away. Well, preacher, that doesn't make sense. Well, in God's economy, it does. And you know what I'm talking about. The people who have the most love expressed in their life are people who are good at expressing it themselves. Give it away to have more of it. All right? So when we think about the command in Scripture to bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, again, jumping back into chapter 5, he says, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. One word meaning one thought. Okay? Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, it's gotten quiet in here. Love our neighbor as ourself. And then the next verse, he goes into the fact that if you don't act this way, but you act according to the flesh and according to the ways of the world, you'll see the kind of activity that'll go on, biting and devouring one another and being contrary one with another and having those kind of problems all the time. That's from the flesh. But the Lord's given us a way to live among ourselves at peace and enjoy fellowship one with another and enjoy that peace and happiness. And he says, again, verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know that passage or that phrase or that thought, that one word as he speaks of it here, is mentioned several times in Scripture? And if you go to each one of those passages, and we'll try to do that, as you go to each one of those, you'll find that it's in a lesson that's, they're all different. But guess what? The remedy is all the same. Isn't that the way it is? That so many times what we need is to just be patient with one another and love one another and bear with one another, and the Lord will lead us to a solution. Isn't that amazing? But our focus is to be on loving God first and foremost, and then loving one another. Right? For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let me go back to Leviticus, where it's first mentioned. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, 18. In this portion of Scripture, there's a lot of thou shalt nots. Now, I realize this is Old Testament, but listen. Christ fulfilled the law. And he did it in such a way that he showed us the love of God. And if we're to fulfill the law of Christ, and if we will follow his teachings and follow the precepts of his word, then bless your hearts, when we're walking in fellowship with him and when we're loving him and loving one another, we're fulfilling what Christ would have us to be as his church and what God intended all along. Let me just stop for a moment and think. Before we read this, just think about for a moment. Even under the law service, if God's people who had been delivered out of Egypt, who had seen the mighty hand of God delivering them from certain death, from their bondage that they were in, and the judgment that God put upon the Egyptians, and yet they were given away that by the blood, when God saw the blood, he would pass over their house and the firstborn wouldn't die. They had seen all that. And then after they left Egypt and the Egyptians were pursuing after them and they came to the Red Sea, and God manifested his great power in dividing the Red Sea, and they went across on dry land, and then the Egyptians who tried to do the same were drowned. In many ways, these people had witnessed with their eyes the mighty deliverance of God. Didn't they have reason to serve him? Didn't they have reason to offer thanksgiving and praise and adoration to his great name? And when he gave them the law service, if they had maintained that adoration and praise and worship of the true and living God as they went about doing all of the things that the law prescribed, bless your hearts, they could have had a loving environment, loving God and loving God's people. But Christ came and fulfilled all of those things. And he simply tells us, love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Didn't he say this in John 13? If you have love one to another. Fulfilling the law of Christ. All right, so when we come back to this Old Testament passage, look for the love. All right, even under the law. All right, Leviticus 19. What is this? 19, verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Do you know what he means by that? You better listen. I'm the Lord. I have a right to tell you how to live. All right, that was under the law service. But what is he saying? He's saying not to avenge. In other words, when somebody does something to you, don't get back at them. Don't take vengeance for yourself. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Right?
Right.
Okay. So they weren't to do that. And then he says, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Well, what happens when people get upset with one another and they hold a grudge, and then when that person against whom they are holding a grudge, if they have a need or something like that, that person is not as nearly willing or even going to think about doing what they should for that person and showing them the kind of love that they should. And so if you've got a whole society of folks that's acting that way, following the flesh instead of the word of God, what do you got? You got turmoil, you got trouble, you got unrest. What God is saying is, if you follow my word, you'll have peace and you'll have contentment and you'll have fellowship one with another. Oh my goodness. I like that way a whole lot better, don't you? If we just follow the word of God, things will be so much better. My goodness. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That was Leviticus. What a principle. All right? Back to the New Testament. James chapter 2. James can get pretty plain with his teaching, can't he? You're going to find, again, this idea of loving your neighbor as yourself, okay? I'll begin in verse 8, James chapter 2, verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin. Wow. And are convinced of the law as a transgressor. Respect of persons. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're not to have respect of persons. That is dealing with partiality. Showing partiality. In other words, what you're doing is you're imposing your own personal judgments and feelings onto the matter above the word of God. Oh. Wow. That could be trouble, couldn't it? I like this, but I don't like that. I mean, if we're just going to get down to trying to deal with one another based on personal preferences and showing partiality, that's a prescription for trouble. But the Lord says, don't do that. The Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself. Follow the word of God. When we have such an attitude that God's word means more than my personal preferences, and that we're going to follow God's word even when I have to deal with myself in understanding and applying it. You know, there are some scriptures that, let's just be plain about it. If you're not thinking the way you should, there are some scriptures you can read and you'll say, I don't want to do that. You believe me? Pray for your enemies. Jesus told us we're to pray for our enemies. Pray. Real prayer. for enemies. You got to grow into that one too, don't you? Because that's not easy against this old flesh. And there's just so many other things that we have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he would have us to do, and not do our own preferences and not impose our own partiality to things, but follow the Word of God. Know it, understand it, apply it. That's when we're growing. That's when we're doing what's pleasing to him. That's when we're glorifying him, when our actions reflect his teachings. That's where the glory comes from. All right? Jesus said, let's see, Matthew 22. When Jesus was questioned as to which is the great commandment, Matthew 22, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, we can fulfill the law of Christ by understanding this and applying it. Loving God first and foremost, and loving one another. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we can get that right, we can get our service to God where it should be. Loving him first and loving one another. Fulfilling the law of Christ, if you will. And you can see from that passage, loving God, and then he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law. You can see from that that an outgrowth of loving God the way we should is loving one another. Loving God first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Notice, and again, getting back to this, bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have to have the love for God first and foremost. An outgrowth for that will be to love his people. If we're born of God, then we love those that are begotten of him. Okay, 1 John chapter 5 speaks about that. So, if we're going to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, then as we see these passages that mention about loving our neighbor as ourself, then we'll see the various ways that we need to realize that applying ourselves to what God says that we should do will save us from so many errors. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can turn there if you like. I will. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5. There's another mention of what I just read to you from Matthew 22. As a matter of fact, this is the source from which Jesus was quoting to that lawyer there in Matthew 22. But here's what I want from this. He says, I'll begin in verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. All right, what he's doing here, first of all, is he's emphasizing how that we ourselves are to love God supremely. It's only when you've got that in the right priority that you can then love others like you should. But if we're not loving God like we should, we're never going to get around to loving others like we should. You see the problem there? If you elevate anybody else above the Lord, if you put somebody else in the place of where God ought to be, give them too much affection, too much attention. No, we love God first and foremost. Then we can love others the way we should. All right? Now, you got that. All right? Now he goes on. These words shall be in your heart. Then notice what he says in verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Oh. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them before a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes, between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. You get the idea. It's supposed to be before you at all times. The Jews actually had a mezuzah that they would put on their doorposts. And when they would go in their house and out and come back in, they would pause at that post. They would reach up and touch it as a reminder, cause them to remind themselves of the word of God. That it should guide our steps and guide our actions and as we go out and as we come in. All right. But then he says, you're to have this in your heart. Oh, and what a difference it makes when it's in our heart and we're living our lives according to it. But then also to teach your children. When it's taught to the next generation, then as they come along, they're not left to drift, but they've got a good foundation. They know how they should live. And they can grow in these things. Isn't that a wonderful pattern? What if this is not done? It's, you know, just think about the implications. And when you teach it to your children, it's not always words. It needs to be actions. It needs to be modeled before them. They need to see the love for it in your actions. You know, not just hand them a book and say, check off these boxes and learn this. No, you model it. So they can see in your life it's special. They see in your life it's not an obligation. It's your life. How you're living it. And they can see the blessings of walking in fellowship with God. Loving God first and showing that love to others. See, what a world this would be if everybody were doing that here. We're going to be doing that up yonder perfectly. But the more perfectly that we can grow into it here, and the more glory that we can shine forth to others, and the better we are able to show the love that God has given to us, because he intends for us to reflect it to others. He doesn't just give it to us because we're so good and so special that we just need to treasure it up. And you know, we do need to treasure it, but not to hoard it up. But to share that love with others. And one of the best ways we can share that love with others is bearing one another's burdens. A call, a prayer, a card, a kind deed. You know, I've told you the story before about the preacher that went to the widow's house, and when he opened the gate almost fell off the hinges, and the grass needed cutting, and when he started up the steps was in awful repair. He's afraid he's going to fall through as he's going up the steps. And he got there and said, "Sister Jones, is there anything I can do for you?" There's plenty he could do for her. And what a blessing that would have been to her life, for some of the folks from the church to come over there and make some of those repairs for her. And what a blessing that would be. You see, there's just, and that's just a little thing, but there's just all kinds of opportunities that we could find to be a blessing for someone, especially if you're looking to help to ease someone else's burden in this life and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, time's about gone here. Time for the test. Don't all of you get up and leave now. Time for the test. How often this week have you done something to try to help bear someone's burden? Maybe you have. And I rejoice in that with you, if you have. If you haven't, you're too busy. If you haven't, you are too busy. You think too much of yourself. You got too much crammed into number one's schedule to fulfill the law of Christ. How often? It doesn't take a lot of time, does it? Now, you could spend your whole week doing that. There are needs abounding. There are plenty. You know, you start visiting the sick. You start visiting those who are shut in. You start visiting those who have their needs. And it can take a lot of time. But there are things you can do. If we don't have time, we are too busy. God will bless you in taking some of that time and helping others. And you'll find joy in it. And as you do it, God will be glorified. Because you're showing, you're reflecting some of the love that He's given to you. So, I said that was a test. Really, it was just a question, wasn't it? The test is, what are you going to do next week? Are you going to take this good word of God that will do you good and apply more of it? Grow into it. Show that love to others that God has shown to you. It might be that we'd have to spend a little time on our knees. Said, "Lord, I've been too busy. I've been neglectful. Show me." You know, now be careful. This kind of a prayer, I have found the Lord answers it really quickly. But if you're sincere about wanting to grow more into this word and fulfill the law of Christ in a more perfect way, you're going to need to help others. You're going to have to be thinking about others, not so much of self. I've shared with you the Word of God. It was upon my heart to preach it. We had a prayer this morning asking for the Lord to bless it. I hope He blessed it. I wish I could tell it like it is. But here's my point. I've preached to you what the Word says. Is it going to find a lodging place in your heart? Is it going to make any changes? Is it going to bring any glory to God? You have to answer that. And may God bless you as our prayer.